Welcome to Voices of Taos. My name is Laura Martin Baseman, and I'm the producer of this new podcast from the Taos News. Every week, we will be bringing you a voice from our Taos community. This week on Voices of Taos, we have Luis Reyes, the CEO of Kit Carson Electric Co-op. So, welcome on the show, Luis.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, it's great to have someone who's been a member of the community for a long time, but also, you know, is an important part of our infrastructure and our business community as well.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. It's nice to talk about some of the successes that we've had.
Yeah.
And I'm especially proud of what we've done because I'm local, right? I mean, a lot of times locals really don't get a chance to run these bigger organizations and be successful. Taos High graduate, so the public schools, I think, are great. I then went to New Mexico Military Institute, kind of get my act together. Then I got my electrical engineering degree at New Mexico State. And then I started here. So this has been my only job since I graduated. I started in 1984. I was an engineer for about 8.5 years. And for the past 31 years, I've been the CEO of Kit Carson Electric.
That's an amazing story. And it's also, like you said, such a local success story, too.
Yeah, I think that's very important to, you know, especially in North Central New Mexico, understand the culture, the tri-culture, right? Understand how it is to operate in a diverse world. And also to make sure that because we are rural, that everyone's voices count, and that we're people, just not numbers like you would maybe in a city.
And the difference between what those numbers in different communities mean, too, the difference between working with Taos Pueblo or working with up in Amalia or working in the city, in the town of Taos, I should say.
Right.
Those are all very different. Not just numbers, but the intermix of the communities is very different, too.
Right, and I think that's one of the values or beauties of our community is the ability to grow up, work in a diverse culture or cultures, and be able to understand and respect each culture and the value they bring to this kind of melting pot that we have in Taos County. Right, and then you kind of throw in a mix of Angel Fire and Red River and a little mix of the people who've moved in from California and New York, and you have this great soup, right, so to speak, with all these different flavors. And I think from our point, that's important because the products that we offer, electricity and broadband and propane, everyone needs them. And, right, we have to be able to give a product to so many diverse people, diverse economic backgrounds and positions they have. You know, we have many low-income. We have some people who have done well. And then culturally, integrating renewable energy, broadband with, you know, look at Taos Pueblo and Picaris Pueblo. You know, they've been here for centuries. And for them to be part of our success, and just not by being a member, by being an active participant, right, by promoting that solar is good and that our children need internet and connectivity, right? So I think this common thread that we've been able to create, that everyone's included, and, you know, there's days that sometimes we don't agree, you know, and we agree to disagree. But I think that's the value of what I think I've brought to the co-op is really not electricity and internet and what I enhanced infrastructure, but really this value that we have to work together. If we're going to succeed as a community, and in this case through infrastructure, we have to respect each other's position, their history, their core values, and then move forward. And then the product is, you know, we're probably one of the greenest utilities in the United States. We're as connected as anyone, anywhere. So I think that is important that we've actually been able to weave the community. It's kind of like weaving a blanket, right? And we have all different kinds of colors and styles, and we make it work. And so really proud of that. And I think being local, and my hope too is other entities, the hospital and the town and the county, larger employers, that at some point in their future, that someone local has the ability to lead it and offer a vision, as I've been able to and fortunate to do that with Kit Carson Electric.
I guess a good question for people who don't really understand the business side of the business. What exactly does the cooperative part of the Kit Carson mean?
Yeah. Well, the co-op was formed in many parts of the country, but, focusing on our area for electric service first. No one wanted to serve Taos. So the investor-owned utilities, the big guys, in this case, Public Service in New Mexico, we were too small. There's not enough people. Who wants to serve ranchers and farmers and pueblos? You guys don't use enough electricity. So co-ops are formed, and co-ops are formed to bring services no one else wanted to give us. And we do it under a democratic structure. So we have elected board members. We have bylaws. We have rules we have to live by. We vote on things that make a big difference. So you do have a say, and I think in today's world, public power is important. So we can choose a type of power. So because of the co-op business model, our members have chosen renewable energy as our prime choice. If we're an investor-owned utility, it'd be the stockholders. It'd be what makes us the most money. And here it's what brings us the best value, which is completely different. So I think the cooperative structure affords people a voice in a service that they can't do without. And I think that's the beauty of the model.
Yeah, and it's changed so much over the last 20 years, the last 10 years, the last 5 years even, and just the accessibility of renewable energy has increased quite a bit.
It has, and when we're growing up, I often say that, it's hippie power, right? And we all, those of us who grew up here in Taos, I remember all the hippies and, the good and bad that comes with that, and we made friends. But really, it was power that people from the outside used, right? And then as a utility, utilities really had embraced it, so it wasn't something that we thought was a good business. But as we started to talk to our members and it became more affordable, more accessible, the tide started to change. And it used to be if you use solar, you were just kind of the wealthy, and now if you're not even talking about solar for your home, your business, for the co-op, you're out of touch. And I do think there's benefits. It's good business because it's affordable. It works when the sun shines, and we all know that. It's good for the environment. As many of us who grew up here know that it just seemed to snow a lot more. A lot often, deeper snows. And so the climate has changed. Whether it's carbon, CO2, or whether it's more cars, I don't know. I just know it's changed. And it's getting warmer. We have more intense fires. So our members through the co-op wanted us to address that. How do we do our part to at least mitigate this warming trend that we see? And so, again, that's kind of the value of Kit Carson. If you had the same discussion in Albuquerque or Santa Fe, who do you talk to? Can you talk to PNM and say, guys, I think we need to address this issue? And you can't. And I think you can have it here. And I think, too, as I mentioned earlier, everyone has a voice. And so it's just not the people who have means, and it's just not the elected officials. It's kind of like I say, the little old lady at the end of the line, she has just as big a voice as the mayor of the town of Taos, right? And I think that really is powerful from a co-op setting, everyone's the same, right? You all have the same voice, the same rights, and you get the same service.
it's a really cool technology opportunity that we have in such a small community because people have advocated for it, like you said.
Well, so, they had, yeah. And when, again, in my early years of being CEO, we had several leaders talk about the solar capital of the world. Mm-hmm. And you look around and there was two or three solar panels. So I said, well, why don't we make it the solar capital of the world? Why don't we really make a bang, you know? And so we've built several arrays. You know, the latest one that we're going to build, starting hopefully summer, is in Amalia.
Yes.
Which I think is great. You know, Amalia, New Mexico, we're at, you know, at the very end of our system, kind of the end of our earth. A lot of generational ranchers and farmers and hunters who really see value in renewable energy in that area and see the value that it's less expensive than coal. It's a good use of property that's not being used for anything else. It can give the community some name notoriety, right? We're going to put batteries up there. So now we're building resilience and reliability. So on non-solar days, we can still dispatch electricity through the batteries. And hopefully during construction, locals will work there. So as we talk about some of the things we need to do as a community for economic development, solar energy has been of key to putting people to work. And it's kind of a plug and play. You can put solar anywhere. So we can put it just as easily in Amalia as we can at Taos Pueblo, as we can at Picaris, or in Tres Piedras. And we have an array out there. And so I think these are exciting times for us. And I think our membership has decided to walk the talk. Now, just not talk about being part of the solution, but really being part of it by allowing myself and the board to get these facilities built.
Well, it's a very exciting opportunity, and I can't wait to ask you more about that after the break. We'll be back to Voices of Taos after a quick message.
I'm Isabel Pena, media specialist right here at the Taos News, reminding you to pick up our wonderful Taos Woman magazine on stands right now and look for the gallery guide out April 4th.
So we're back on Voices of Taos, and this week I'm talking with Luis Reyes, who's the CEO of Kit Carson Electric Cooperative. And before the break, we were talking about the new Amalia project that they are installing. And one of the things that is unique about the Amalia project is kind of the integration that we were talking about with the ranching and the farming communities. And is part of that, you know, the land either amongst the solar panels or with the solar panels can still be used for agricultural purposes?
So a couple of things. First, it's the Rio Costilla Livestock Association.
Okay.
That's our partner in this. And it's a group of, I want to say, 150, 160 families that have come together to look at how they ranch and farm and log and offer they're part of the world to the world to hunt and fish. So it's a great model of community and families creating an economic model. Our array is right across an old sawmill. So it used to be an old sawmill that for about 10 years processed all the lumber that they brought in, and then it closed. And so we're using land adjacent to that was more or less an industrial use. But we also want to introduce agrivoltaics so that we have multiple uses of the property. So there's no reason that we can't maybe grow some crops in there right, and have community farming. So if families don't have enough land or water, you know, let's go to this 40 or 50 acres and let's pick our row and let's build something or grow something. You can put, you know, our ideas, maybe put some sheep and goats and use that as kind of our natural lawnmowers, right? They'll keep the grass down. But I think you get the new emerging technologies of solar and batteries with the traditional ranching of and farming. That's such a cool vision, right? That we can still live the way that We want to live, and our ancestors lived, and still make a good living and take care of the land, while embracing renewable energy on the same piece of property that gives us the electricity we need for kind of for what we need it, right? Whether it's watching TV or listening to the radio or – and so that – if we can create those type of win-win models where we keep the land producing and keep our – what made us kind of a place that people wanted to come, right? We still live off the land. I often say that as much as we don't want to say it, communities like Taos and Cuesta and Amalia, we're the original environmentalists, right? We want to take care of our land and our air so that when we water our farms, it's clean. So we produce clean food. When we water our animals, it's clean. That we're out working the farm or the ranch or hunting or enduring the outdoors, that it's clean air, right? So we didn't do it as a label. We did it because it's the right thing to do. And I think when you do the right thing, it doesn't matter what you call it, right? And so I think that's such a great story for the community, really for the Western United States, where ranching and farming is still a big piece of our livelihood.
Absolutely. And it hopefully will continue to be, you know, if we invest in those communities and those places.
Correct.
Yeah. And I guess another thing that's been coming up in some of the news about renewable energy is the mining that's associated with some of those, like the batteries, using the cobalt and using those other things. And there's been at least worry that with renewable energy that some of these mining practices are kind of contributing negatively to the environment. What do you all think about that?
You know, again, and there's some truth to that that has developed that as our technology gets better, there are going to be some pros and cons. And we understand that. But the reality is you can't stay where we're at. Status quo doesn't work. I do think there's going to be emerging technologies, right, where you're not using lithium or those type of metals. Maybe using hydrogen as a battery. You know, maybe using other types of sources of or elements or minerals. But that's always going to be with us, right? I mean, if we can go backwards and we can say, let's mine coal or let's drill for natural gas. So at the end, I think our position is let's try to pick the less evil if for the critics who think that's bad. I think it's just like anything. We have to move forward. If this is the way to do it, there are going to have to be some sacrifices, and I know that's going to be hard for some people. I do know running three different operations, electric, broadband, and propane, that when the lights go out, they're not talking to me about mining, or they're saying, I want the electricity on. When the broadband goes out, no one's talking about anything other than I need my internet. So I do think we have to be sensitive to the needs that our society needs requires now. I always think we have to be thoughtful, right? And I think we have to have good discussions with the people impacted about how do we move forward. But I don't think to the detriment of, in our case, in my case, my kids and grandkids, right? But I am hopeful that emerging technology is going to get better. And mining techniques is going to get better. And at some point, maybe we may not even use minerals that we have to mine. The technology may evolve that we can get stuff that really isn't impactful in a negative way to Earth. The other thing, too, real quickly, is we've used batteries forever.
Yes.
Flashlights, cell phones, I think. And I don't think we're ready to give those up.
I think you're right. I think it's – and it just the energy consumption that we have as Americans in particular, it makes it very hard to give those things up too. So,
And I think one of the things we're trying to do with renewable energy is really start putting out more batteries.
Absolutely.
Both to support the oversupply. Right now we actually supply – on some days we supply enough energy to sell to Santa Fe or Albuquerque, which is great. Just imagine we can take this great Taos sun and sell it to our people in Santa Fe and Albuquerque. But I do think as technology evolves, you know, one of the biggest things that concerns me, really two issues. One is the amount of home medical devices being sent home now. And so people have oxygen, CPAP, all these, just think about that. And so the level of reliability is going to have to increase. And the only way we're going to be able to do that, because we're going to have outages, is to be able to put batteries around the system so that when we do have an outage, a battery will kick in. And that way give us some sense of relief to determine if you know, the outage is going to be longer or what do we have to do. I think, too, if we don't continue to put out more renewables, I do think it's going to get hotter. And we live in such a beautiful area with the forests. We don't want to start a fire, right? So I do think, as I mentioned earlier, there's trade-offs to everything, and I think at the end we have to do what is best for the greater good. And I think that's what Kit Carson's doing, is trying to really do what's for the greater good, just not selling electricity, but taking care of the environment that we inherited.
It's exciting that we have these opportunities to kind of turn things around, too. Yeah. So something that you mentioned briefly is hydrogen. So hydrogen as a renewable resource has been in the news, I should say, with the local legislative session that we just had. What exactly is hydrogen as a renewable source?
So everyone, well, many people know that hydrogen is the most abundant elements on Earth. But it's really never been harnessed for electric generation. And there's several different types of hydrogen. So Kit Carson is looking at green hydrogen. And green hydrogen is hydrogen that is produced from a renewable resource and uses wastewater. And so basically what we do is we take the wastewater and take it through a process where it separates the water into hydrogen and oxygen. We capture the hydrogen in storage tanks, similar to propane tanks. And then when we need the hydrogen, so it's like a battery, nighttime, cold weather, an outage, then we release it through a fuel cell. So there's no combustion, there's no moving parts. It's something that is natural. Hydrogen is, you know, H2O. And I do think it's the future of what it's going to replace if we really want to get a handle on fossil fuel generation. What's going to replace natural gas? Right now, coal has been replaced by natural gas. What's going to replace natural gas? We think at Kit Carson it's going to be hydrogen. And using wastewater, you know, there's wastewater treatment plants that the municipalities use. There's all this wastewater in the mine at Inquesta. That just sitting there, they pump 1 million gallons out every single day.
Wow, that's
and they,
a lot.
And they probably have water for 40 years, and it has the heavy metals, everything that mining. So what's a better use than using it locally and for energy? Because you can't clean it to you know, it's a Superfund site. You can't use that water basically for anything else. And then it's local. So as power consumption in the West continues and no one's building power plants, where are we going to get our power from? And so our view is let's get it locally from local resources. And if you put in Quesa, you put it on a Superfund site that no one, you can't use that land for anything else. Right? We're not going to have a Little League field and we're not going to put a park there, but it may be good for a hydrogen plant. And water that we're not going to drink, let's use that and deliver energy when we need it, which is at nighttime. Right? And somehow, some way, start to transform the economy in northern New Mexico to really a green energy hub. You know, in essence, if you really step back and look at the Kit Carson model, we've created a green economy. What they've talked about in Washington for a long time, we have solar, we have batteries, we've built it with local labor on locals' property, right? People have made money out of it. We are truly now the solar capital of the world, and now introduce hydrogen where we're going to clean up bad water to a useful benefit. We really have created an economy. Now, how do we sustain that, and how do we make sure that we can replicate this model in other places? And so I think that's the value of hydrogen, because you can do that just about anywhere. If the city of Albuquerque has a wastewater treatment facility, which they do, you know, instead of water golf courses, use that water to create electricity, right? It's kind of for the greater good. So I do think there's a lot of opportunities. The United States government has embraced that as potentially the replacement for natural gas. It may be some time off, but I think eventually we'll get there.
And it's so great just hearing how basic that, I mean, you have a big plant that's going to be transforming the water into separating the hydrogen and the oxygen. But I think a lot of people, it sounds so scary because it uses water. And since water is a very scarce resource here in the Southwest, I think a lot of people don't think about using our wastewater that isn't being used at all as a resource.
Yeah, basically you clean it and you put it back in the ground.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's really cool. And we don't really get to use it. What ends up, like I told some people last night at a meeting, we get it back in green chili if you like it. It gets down to Hatch and we get it back that way.
Perfect.
So it is. I think the more people – and, you know, there's always these issues about, well, hydrogen's a gas. And people are telling me that, well, they're turning on their gas stove to heat up coffee to give to me, right? And I'm thinking, well, we pipe gas right into the house. There's an education, but I really do think as we've lost Chevron, they'll never come back, that it really can transform that economy, right? Mm-hmm. We're trying to do things that are transformative, that really keep our quality of life the way we've always had it, but still get the amenities that you can get in an urban area, like electricity and broadband.
And also provide jobs for other generations, too. I remember in your article with Liam Easley how you talked about your kids grew up here, but they don't live here anymore to work. And I was born here in Taos. I grew up in Santa Fe, and I'm coming back now. But if I didn't work for the Taos News, it would be hard to get a job here. So investing in those projects, too, I think
the current leaders, that should be our focus.
Yeah.
Whether you're the mayor of the town or Cuesta or the head of Taos Ski Valley, it really should be on what kind of jobs can we create that our kids and grandkids can stay here and continue to make Taos vibrant. Otherwise, we're going to end up as one of these ghost towns that you see in movies. And so I do think we have an obligation to do that. And it's a tough challenge, but I think at the co-op we have the right mix of leaders to do that.
Yeah, well, it's exciting. And what would you tell a young person who's interested in engineering and is really passionate about the future and the environment? What could they do to kind of get into your footsteps one day?
Well, what I'd tell them is this is probably, the past 40 years, probably the time where I see the most transformative emerging technology that integrates old technology like solar with new technology like fiber and AI. And just imagine making a truly smart grid where you can have artificial intelligence kind of drive how you operate an electric system, right? When to charge the battery, when to discharge the battery automatically, right? And to be able to, at this time, to be on the front end of that, to be able to put your vision in and say, okay, I want, if there's winds at 80 miles an hour, I want the electric line to be shut off, the battery gone, so we don't cause a fire. And it's done automatically. No one's hurt. I think those are the opportunities they have, is really kind of transform us to the next generation of electric delivery, which is going to be the integration of very smart engineers with very smart IT platforms.
Yeah.
Right? And just think about... We've seen this in the kind of the Star Wars movies, but we're getting pretty close to there. But for people coming out, and Kit Carson really is trying to do that. So just imagine if we can make a really smart, intelligent grid that enhances our quality of life, right? I think that's what I'd tell them. If you want that challenge, if you want to make it better for the people of the Enchanted Circle, then this is the place to do it.
Well, thank you so much, Luis. It's been a true pleasure having you on here today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us for Voices of Taos, a podcast by the Taos News, produced by Laura Martin Baseman. Our music was produced and arranged by Miles Bonney, featuring musicians Francisco Velarde, Ruben Hernandez, and Margot Macias. Please join us next week for another episode of Voices of Taos.